Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This episode is a follow-on to the marketing that we were just covering, and unfortunately we ran out of time yesterday. There, I know it's been a while since I've been able to provide you some news and updates and marketing. And so what I want to do is kind of go through enough of the noise out there that hopefully will help you get motivated. Bottom line, until enough people really start pushing and demanding compliance, we're going to be continuing in this downward spiral. Now, here's the good thing. I don't want you to lose hope. I want you to understand that there are people in the red states. Thus, we're on Red State Talk Radio. There are people in the dark red states that get it. They are understanding how they actually are the anchor to keep the rest of those coastal states from falling into the water. So, I want you to understand that there is hope. And that's one of the reasons why, and I haven't said this in a little while, but I want to put this right up front. We want to make sure that you hopefully will help in the candidate races in Wyoming and maybe the Dakotas and so forth. We want to get more and more candidates across the finish line. And we're actually hoping that in 2020, we'll have enough candidates get across the finish line and enough people demanding change that in 2020, we actually have, you know, some real heat and things actually starting to happen. Because I truly believe that we won't hit critical mass, but I do believe that we will get to a point where people are going to actually start having to address these problems, these issues at the state legislator level. And I'm really hoping that in 2021, we get enough people across the line that the state legislators actually pass the resolutions necessary to get the audit started with the state of Wyoming and get moving forward in calling for Republic review. In other words, getting the rest of the states to come on board and assisting in the audit and doing their part so that we can actually get this momentum. Who knows, by 2024, I'm hoping by 2024, we have 13 states. If we get 13 states, then there's nothing Congress can do to put aside the Constitution. And as we start moving forward, more and more states are going to get on board. I get in these chats or these pages where there's these idiots that have completely bought into, you know, and they call themselves conservatives, but there's these idiots and there's these forums where people keep on, you know, pounding the Northwest Ordinance is law. And there's these laws that they've passed that have, you know, created the groundwork for the federal government to do these things legally. And I'm going, I'm sorry. You know, the Northwest Ordinance was superseded by the Constitution, period. The Northwest Ordinance was superseded by the Constitution. And there's people that just don't get that. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Now, there may be contracts and or debts, but when they talk about territorial laws and those types of things, I'm sorry. These people are drinking Kool-Aid. And as a matter of fact, it is... I believe that this is, because these guys are supposedly conservatives, so I believe this is the academic progressive Kool-Aid that these guys are touting. They're trying to get other people to say, oh, you know what, we've got a case in court, and it seems like at least this one individual, is just trying to. What do you call that? Cut their teeth. They're trying to hone their skills in hopefully getting somebody to help fund this person to actually take a case to court to try to press their theory. And I say this all the time. You know, every time you go into a court that has no jurisdiction over the matter that you're pressing, then you are guaranteed to lose. If you go to the federal court system over an issue of marriage, over an issue of health, over an issue of life, over an issue, almost every issue today, and they are going to rule for whatever they feel necessary that meets their agenda and actually supports the narrative. That's how it is. Every time you are surrendering your sovereignty. So who are the supreme sovereigns? The supreme sovereigns are the states. They are sovereigns over all things not delegated in the Constitution or has been constitutionally ratified by a treaty. And so with that, I'm here to tell you that we actually do. I see hope. I see a lot of distractions, even in these little social media forums that people are, you know, trying to create the banter. And anyway, I don't want to dally too long on this, but the bottom line is I do want to instill hope. There is hope that the red states are getting it. I will tell you, Idaho and I even think maybe Utah, those are two supposedly dark red states, but there is enough controlled opposition where there are certain organizations that claim to be guardians of the Constitution. I'm giving you air quotes here. Guardians of the Constitution are these champions of conservatism and so forth. And you know, I'm telling you, they're just controlled oppositions. You've heard me rail about this group before. And they're big. They are big in Idaho and they're big in Utah. And that's where I see a lot of swirling on lots of little different things that people are running around chasing tentacles instead of focusing on killing the beast, Leviathan. And the only thing that will kill the Leviathan is getting the states together to assume their collective authority over that Constitution and in demanding enforcement, demanding that the federal government do precisely what it's supposed to. There is no court greater than the collective states, period. The Supreme Court doesn't even hold their water. Can't even hold a towel. They're not even the bench warmers. The Supreme Court only has jurisdiction. They've assumed and usurped a lot of jurisdiction, but constitutionally, they only have jurisdiction over those things enumerated. That was clarified in the terms of the contract. And bottom line, the terms of the contract are legally binding. There has to be an amendment to aggrandize the court, to allow the court to go well beyond those enumerated powers. And if there's not one, then they have usurped their authority, just like Congress, just like the president, and so forth and so on. Now, the one thing I really want you to remember as you go into the weekend is that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as Republic Review and .org, RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that gives you academic evidence on how we need to solve these problems. And that's what I just did. I went through a 3-week barrage of all sorts of things. Now, one of the things we're going to be getting into in the next week, we're going to be getting into Madison's veto, and we're going to get into the veto by, Andrew Jackson and James Monroe regarding the same issue over the Department of Transportation. And so I'm here to tell you that the evidence is overwhelming as you start putting everything on the table. Lots of people like to say, oh, well, you know, we've allowed this to happen. Or, well, there's these implied, I'm sorry. Nowhere. Go look through the ratification debates and show me where they said that there are implied powers by the Federalists who said, yes, we have implied powers in this Constitution. Now, there were assumptions that were made by the Anti-Federalists. That, oh, we believe there's implied powers. But even with implied powers, if you look at the enumerated powers, that does not include healthcare. That does not include education. That does not include energy. agriculture, so forth and so on. So I'm just here to tell you that even with implied powers, they're well outside the box. I mean, they can't even see the box from the wings and these different monstrosities that they have added onto. Because if you look at it, healthcare in itself, education in itself, these are monsters. These are huge, powerful appendages that this Leviathan is using against us. Anyway, before I run out of time, I also want to tell you that we could use your support. I've got less than a minute. We have Red State Coffee. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and click on the links. We've got a link to both Red State Coffee as well as our crowdfunding. If you want to get involved and you want to support, I'm here to tell you that not one penny goes to any part of my lifestyle or anything else. We're just trying not to be the sole subsidizers of this effort. So we would be humbled with your support and we would be very thankful with your support. More importantly, the one thing we need to do is we need people to get smart on the, and this is not rocket science. You can actually read the ratification. Send me an email. If you want to get smart, if you want to actually lead in your county or in your state, I'll give you the content and you can read this stuff. And it is what it is. You can't put anything else into this. This is so simple. As you understand the terms of the contract and how it was defined, that's how it is. And unfortunately, they're not playing by those rules anymore. They're making it up as they go along. So with that, we've got a hard break, and we will be right back, and we're going to dive into more marketing, or what you want to call news, or what I would hope to be motivators right after this. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so it is time to be a little honest and forthright. One of the things that I've just not had the time to do is to do all the research looking at what I would consider conservative cities, conservative towns, to find out what they are doing, you know, in these really, I would call them red bastions. I can tell you that Spokane has already been, you know, polluted with the progressive paradigm, and there are all sorts of rhinos that are literally
we've got communists wearing a badge and we have communists doing all, I mean, well, maybe they're not communists. They're probably little Napoleons. People that use demagoguery. I just received this notification today that coming up in September, right after Constitution Week, there is going to be a rally that's going to be held by by a few of the subversives, I will just say that, and that they're trying to, you know, be the facade that, you know, they want to address the real problems of Spokane. And this is happening all around in these red cities, that as these people get entrenched and start obtaining power, this is how they convert the cities. We're going to talk about this coming right up. And the fact of the matter is that these guys are pointing the finger at white supremacy. Like, white supremacy is a real problem here. Are you kidding me? You're not hearing anything about racial profiling or any type of hate crimes or anything like that, but they're saying white supremacy is out of control. They're branding a lot of people wrongly. And as a matter of fact, these guys are crossing the libel line, if you ask me, and they're using all sorts of demagoguery, just like a tyrant, just like Napoleon did. And if you read Aristotle's book on politics, he gets into how these tyrants actually use demagoguery to ascend to power. And that's exactly what's happened here in Spokane. So I'm planning on going. I'm hoping to find at least somebody to go and cover that as far as a news goes and see how they spin the narrative. And in doing that, I'm actually hoping that the Inlander and the Spokes and Tokes Review, that's the two local newspapers, because they're flaming liberal rags, and what I'm hoping is that somebody else covers that to actually bring all of the content out so we can actually prove, you know, just how flaming liberal these guys are and how they only cover a very specific narrative instead of actually calling these guys out for lying and so forth. But we'll see. We will see how that all goes. But bottom line is, I've just been too busy to actually do that research. So hopefully, maybe next week I can do that. It's a little overwhelming in trying to deal with the estate of that beloved friend of mine. And so I've just got a lot of things to do to try to get everything closed. I know it takes a little while to do some of these things, but I'll tell you, it's not easy. As a matter of fact, one of the things that you would not think would just be hard, if not impossible to do, is turning off the internet, TV, cable service. You know, if you've got Time Warner, Comcast, or whomever, well, the local provider here just makes it very, I mean, it's easier for me to deal with banks than it is the ISP provider. And I'm just going, you got to be kidding me. They actually required me to go in instead of just emailing the death certificates and the court documents and so forth. And I'm going, wow, they want their pound of flesh. And as a matter of fact, they refused, because we actually disconnected. They have the technology now, folks. If you didn't know, they have the ability to know when your devices have been unplugged and offline for a very specific short period of time. They even keep track of how much data you bring in and so forth. I mean, Big Brother is watching you. And so one of the things that I just can't fathom, I can't understand why they're doing, you know, making it so hard and putting up all these obstacles, other than the fact that they just want to make sure that they can extrapolate every penny they possibly can. And I'm not sure what their profit models are, but it sure seems like they're doing really well and their stocks are doing well. And so I've become an advocate, and I know this is going to be contrary to what you would think a small government advocate is, but if you understand that you are dealing with monopolies that are protected by government, we would be far better off getting rid of these ISPs and having state governments take over and create a consortium amongst the states and so forth, and actually to take, you know, these services and let them provide these services. I think that ISP services is infrastructure, and the states have this responsibility to do this, just like creating highways and roadways and developing and so forth. And the states, I know that they're a little bit behind the curve, but what they need to do is they need to get on top of providing these types of services. And instead of it being a profit model and not letting this become a public utility, public utilities need to be brought back into the public sector instead of being private and having all of these profits, because we're paying way too much for energy. We're paying way too much for water. As a matter of fact, I know in California, they raise the rates and they charge you more for drinking less. Anyway, it's crazy, but we need to actually look, and I'm not an advocate for, you know, private or public sector or getting rid of the private sector, but we're fooling ourselves if we really believe that we have competition. Who is your ISP competition? Oh, well, my wireless provider. Well, then you've only got two. That's not really a free market. You've got wireless, and then you've got your, boom, you know, your physical cable coming into your house. And if you understand the dangers of wireless, I wouldn't be the one advocating for wireless as a competitive solution to, you know, moving mass data, whether that be for your TV content, computer, and so forth. Bottom line, we need to start really addressing, and this whole thing, this whole tirade started on the fact that I had such problems in turning off this beloved friend's service. And I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. It should not be that hard. But anyway, let me get back to what I was talking about. And I know I was kind of honing down and filing away and sharpening the axe regarding the illegal alien problem. As a follow-up to yesterday, because I pointed out that there is a 234% rise in crimes committed by illegal aliens. And I also gave you some recent evidence of some rapes that were going on in Maryland, where a young, I think 11-year-old girl was brutally raped several times. Well, I can also tell you that historically, here in the state of Washington, it was red. Washington was actually a red state. And what they did was, there were, you know, the blue was creeping and the blue was growing. And for the most part, Washington has kind of been a quasi-liberal, but a liberty-minded state. And over the past, I would say 15, 20 years, somewhere, I think 15 years ago or so, they went to mail-in ballots. And in doing that, now you don't have the scrutiny of the polling places. They know if going to a mail-in ballot allows people to start voting where you can't put the face to who is actually voting at the precinct. And I'm here to tell you that having community involvement in elections, having community involvement in crime fighting, having community involvement is huge. I mean, it's our DNA, and we're getting rid of that. We're actually allowing them to disconnect us more and more from our community. And everywhere where they have gone to mail-in ballots, that the progressive agenda has just moved, you know, full step forward. And so what happened in Washington, even though you had these red bastions, all you need is a real progressive bureaucracy like the DMV. Next thing you know, the DMV gets these notices that they're going to start actually giving IDs and voter registration to illegals because somebody out there said, yeah, we want you to do this. And that was never approved by the voters. That was never approved by, you know, a constitutional amendment or anything like that. And next thing you know, we have over 1 million illegal voters, or I should say illegal aliens, voting in the state of Washington. This has been happening in the Carolinas as well. And I mentioned yesterday that there is, you know, a story that I wanted to get to. Well, so here is that story that, you know, was coming up. And so what we want to do is actually dive into that. So here's the story that I wanted to get to you, because I wanted to put all this together for you, because I can't believe this is going on. This is permeating throughout our republic, and this is becoming way too common in red states as well as in blue states. And this doesn't even include the refugees and some of the bad people that have been brought into some what I would call conservative bastions. Idaho, there was a Mohammedan, an Islamist, that actually raped several times a young girl. And that trial has been mishandled. And there, I don't see people getting justice. I'm getting very frustrated here, but I want to communicate the fact that we have a lot to cover. Let me get into this story as soon as we come after this hard break, because we need to start connecting the dots, folks. We'll be right back after this. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so let's look at the macro view. As we start connecting the dots, and we're all, actually, this is a myopic macro view, because if you understand myopic, that means you're drilling in, you have a very tight focused on one particular topic, but it may be regional. And when you start looking at the broader perspective of this one particular problem, it is huge. And so I'm trying to connect the dots. And so forgive me for being a little bit disheveled and maybe not as organized, at least in my head, as I thought. Especially yesterday, I wanted to have all of these together, and I didn't have them together. But today I did get them together. I just had one buried. But anyway, if you understand what the heck is going on, that we are being undermined deliberately. We actually have, and that's why I've been talking about Article or Section 3 of the 14th Amendment and how we need to start pressing many of our politicians, removing them from office and charging them for treason if they are not at least identified and convicted of treason, then they should at a minimum be removed for failing and violating the Constitution, failing to abide by and violating the Constitution. So let me get into this North Carolina story, because I've railed on this quite a bit on the whole concept of illegal immigration and why is it that Congress is allowing this to happen. They have no authority to do this unless they change the laws. They have to change the laws. They can't just willy-nilly not enforce the laws. And the president is going down this path of trying to do this. And so, as we talked about yesterday, in getting rid of anchor babies and that type of stuff, I mean, I think President Trump is really trying to address this as best as he can. So the story that I was going to tell you yesterday, to tie a lot of this, and there's probably lots of stories like this, but they don't come out of the progressive press. In North Carolina, Mecklenburg County, officials released a previously deported illegal alien from Honduras. The person's name is Oscar Pacquiao Leonard, and he's 33, and you know, I just probably butchered his name. No offense, Oscar, but anyway, despite the charges of one count of first-degree rape and two counts of indecent liberties with a child, this article has a long list, or includes a long list, of other illegal aliens who were set free in Mecklenburg County after having been arrested for crimes that included kidnapping, multiple serious assault charges, rape, and sex abuse. Why? Because in North Carolina, Mecklenburg wants to be a sanctuary city? My friends, these progressives, these concepts, they are out to get rid of you. They are putting you in harm's way. I can't believe this is happening. They don't care. When you start connecting the dots, it actually gets a little bit more interesting, because if you hadn't heard, and it wasn't too long ago, Nancy Pelosi and a delegation of Democratic lawmakers were actually in Central America visiting what they think will be future voters in America. Pelosi was promising the people of Guatemala economic opportunity and security. Now, what she is doing is she is absolutely violating the Constitution and this thing called the Logan Act? Yeah, it's the Logan Act. Go look it up. Now, I know the Logan Act talks about treaties, but it is about foreign policies, period. She is violating the Constitution because she has no authority over foreign policy. That's the president's bailiwick. Per the Constitution, he's the one that actually has the authority to have emissaries and have emissaries work the deals or what have you. And when you have lawmakers going down there and telling people, hey, don't worry, we're going to promise you, we're going to get you up here, and you know, we want you to vote for us. What's it going to take? They are literally rebelling against our constitutional republic, and they're trying to throw us into a democratic communism. What is it going to take to get you motivated to actually taking a stand and doing what we need to be doing? Let me move on. A survey had also found, and this is kind of interesting, and this was funded by the American Osteopathic Association, polled about 2,000 adults. Now, I've already warned you about where they do these polls, so I haven't looked at where these polls were done. But this is interesting, that out of this poll asked doubters and the source of their suspicions over vaccinations and so forth. The most common sources casting doubt on vaccines came from online articles, 16%. Distrust from pharmaceutical industry, 16%. And information from medical experts, 12% of the people polled. Despite these concerns, 82% of respondents were still generally in favor of vaccines. while 8% showed serious doubts and 9% said they were unsure. Now, again, where are these polls being done? I'm gonna bet these are probably in progressive areas. Get out into the heartland where people might actually be attuned with this. I can tell you that the movement against vaccines is huge in the red areas, but they don't want to poll those people. So the 2,000 out of the 330 million people in the United States, I'm going to guess that they were probably in a dark blue state. And so the numbers are going to represent what they want. But the interesting thing is there was still enough 60% distrust of the pharmaceutical, 16% distrust of the articles and casting doubt on vaccines. So it's starting to rise even in the blue areas. Interesting. Anyway, California, you're gonna hate this if you live in California, if you know where Murrieta is. Murrieta is down by, and it's in between San Diego and Riverside on I-15. And so the Murrieta School District will not allow parents to opt out of their children's classes containing LGBTQ content. The strong objections arose when parents were shown a video featuring an ACLU staff member instructing teachers how to teach children about oral sex, masturbation, and same-sex relationships, and how to help girls obtain abortions without parental knowledge. Whose children are these? I'm here to tell you that the government has already put themselves in the position they own your kids, and there's nothing you can do. The only thing you can do is to flee California. The only thing you can do is to flee these types of paradigms. If you are trapped in a state that is doing this kind of crap, you need to be taking whatever money you can. Because if you want to save your kids, if you want to save your future, you need to take whatever money you can and put it aside and help the dark red states save you and take back your state by getting them back in line with the Constitution. I guarantee you, your state has no authority with the Constitution in these types of matters, that this should be a local thing. Folks, if you go look at the map, go look at the map of California, the county map, red, blue county map of California. That's all you got to do. And you will find that Murrieta is a red area. So there was a strong objection. Of course, there were lots of parents that stood up and said, no way, no how. And I'm telling you that they don't care. They don't care how much you object. They don't care how you feel about this. They're ramming it down your throat, and they have zero tolerance because they know better. It almost sounds like the statist government has taken full control in California. Congratulations, Californians. You have now gotten to that point. So let me continue on with this GEG need-to-know news. This is impossible because the LGBTQ content is infused throughout the curricula. What they've done, and they've done this with all the rest of the curricula. It's just like evolution. It is not just in history. It is in science. It is in social science. They have woven a web of this curricula throughout all the different classes that absolutely supports each other, to where your kids are being indoctrinated so heavily towards secularism, godlessness, and perversion that... If you're not homeschooling, and if even with the same type of curriculum, you have to be very careful in what and how you present crap to your kids. If not, they're going to start deducing the way the curriculum is presented. They will start deducing the same things that kids in a regular school have. The Murrieta School District's Monica Gutierrez of the Public Information Office said that the California Healthy Youth Act requires teachers and curricula to affirmatively recognize different sexual orientations, be inclusive of same-sex and same-sex relationships and teach students about gender identity and gender expression. Are you kidding me? We'll be right back, and I'm going to be asking you, what the heck is it going to take, friends? What is it going to take to get you motivated? We'll be right back after these two promos. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so what's it going to take, friends? What is it going to take? Your kids, your kids are not considered your property. Remember in Madison's article on essay on property, he says that our expressions are creations. Your children are your creations, and until they reach an age where you can actually let them, and society was kind of set that age at 18, I honestly think maybe we ought to set it at 21. If you can't drink at the age of 21, maybe we need to, you know, keep those really dumb young kids from going into the military, from, you know, wasting their lives in the social engineering programs and so forth. Anyway, this next story is interesting as well, because you know I've been railing on Google, and G. Edward Griffin has pointed out, and most all this news, other than some of the diatribes I've gone down, all this news really does come from G. Edward Griffin, Need to Know News. And if you don't sign up for it, then you're missing out on stories that are not getting to you. Now, you know, Google is an evil player. And Google has been out. I remember I saw Google on a Glenn Beck program once, and these guys were telling us that they had a moral compass that was greater than the, you know, Christians and any type of, you know, good religious group out there. And they just do not do bad things. Well, Zachary, and I think his last name is Vioraz, he's a senior engineer at Google, released hundreds of documents to Project Veritas, including a blacklist of conservative news sites. When Google discovered he leaked the files, they contacted the police, who swatted him. Now, just be clear here. This wasn't the district attorney that called the police to say, hey, we need you to go over here. This was a corporation. Let's say it was, you know, Jack in the Box. Let's say it was that little friendly, you know, dog groomer, you know, down around the corner. And they call the police and say, hey, Well, what did they say? Well, let me get further into this story, and then we'll actually have that exact same conversation. When Google discovered he leaked the files, they contacted police who swatted him, which is a harassment tactic of causing an emergency service to send a team of police and medical personnel to someone's home, as the company requested a mental health check. Well, so I guess if you have a falling out with one of your, you know, your dog groomers, or, you know, your burger flipper, or the person that takes care of the fries, and, you know, the hot fry foods for Jack in the Box or whatever the company is, I guess all they need to do is call the police and request a mental health check? Really? I have a problem with that, my friends. And so Google should not have that type of access to the law enforcement. Now, bottom line is Google, and probably this is in Silicon Valley. And so who does that police really work for? Who do the politicians in Silicon Valley really work for? Well, maybe, like I said, maybe it's time to split California up and let the Silicon Valley have their own politicians and let them have full reign of what they think they want to do, and watch how people recognize how evil it is, because that's exactly what's going to happen. They'll go down draconian paths. They will actually use, you know, jackbooted thug tactics, you know, or heavy-handed tactics, however you want to call it. Anyway, now Zachary says that Google is not who they say they are, and it does exactly what it swears it does not do. Zachary is saying this, the inside guy that actually broke all of this and released all of this documentation has come right out. And Project Veritas has got all of this stuff, and I can't wait for all of this stuff to really actually start getting out and leaking so that we can actually see Google for the evil that they are. Zachary left Google because he fears the company will destroy the entire free election system. I want to highlight that this guy left because he sees Google as not. So Google is doing lots of things. They're doing artificial intelligence. They're creating the social credit system, working with China. They're lock stock in China, loving the fact of having corporate government control over the people, so that people can't, you know, are going to be forced to do what needs to be done. And so he is only focused on the myopic side of Google and the election system. They're not about all these other things that Google has got their tentacles in, right? So, you know, buyer beware. Anybody that is out there using Google, you just be well aware of the fact that if you're buying a Google phone, any type of Google product, you are supporting, and I hate to use the word Nazi, but they are the epitome of heavy-handed tactics. Anyway, this is another question I have for you. Have you ever heard of Arkanside? Well, Arkanside is what happens to somebody that's associated to the Clintons that had, you know, suddenly find they're found dead, and it's ruled as suicide, because there sure is a lot of people. And if you just go out and duck, duck, go the Clinton body count, use DuckDuckGo, not Google. Go search for the Clinton body count and you'll just find this huge list. Anyway, this is kind of interesting, and I wasn't really going to talk about Epstein, but this is kind of interesting because on July 25th, Jeffrey Epstein was either attacked or harmed himself in a cell when he was put on suicide watch, okay? Last weekend, or actually in context, because this is a while ago, shortly after that, he reportedly hung himself in his cell after having been removed from suicide watch at the request of his lawyers. Okay, so Jeffrey Epstein was attacked and or harmed himself in his cell, and he was put on suicide watch. Well, what happens is that suicide watch is where they're actually videotaping you and they're monitoring you 24/7 so that they can save you if you try to hurt yourself. Well, anyway, Moving on, the lawyers, as soon as they realized that he was constantly being monitored, they requested that he be removed from suicide watch. His lawyers requested this. Now, there's no camera footage, and when the mandatory checks by guards were skipped as they were reported to have been sleeping and then fudged the paperwork, his cellmate was removed from the cell the day before his death. The medical exam, so now there's nobody around. He doesn't have a cellmate. There's nobody to testify that something happened. So his cellmate was removed the day before his death, and the medical examiner has yet to really determine the cause of death. This was a while ago, and there, it seems like everybody's going to stick to Arkansas on this. So Epstein's lawyers, Jeffrey Shantz and Darren Indyke, recently hired defense attorneys to represent them. So this is interesting. Why did his own lawyers actually hire attorneys to represent them in how they handled the removal of him from 24-hour surveillance? There is extensive evidence that he, you know, and everybody knows this, there is extensive evidence that Epstein himself sexually abused underage girls and used them to blackmail prominent political figures. He had ties to the Israeli Mossad, and as part of his 2008 sweetheart plea deal, became an FBI informant. On July 6th, the night that he was arrested, the FBI raided his New York home and seized hundreds of photos of nude females, some of whom appeared underage. There are several ongoing investigations in this matter, but Epstein's death has been removed, Epstein, by dying, has removed himself or whomever it is benefiting in being the primary witness in a lot of these investigations. Investigations against leaders, world leaders, political leaders, and so forth. I'm just telling you, folks, that this seems to be what we would just, you know, lay out in front of you. This is another case of Arkansas, because there is way too much. Why would this guy? This is almost like the McDougal thing. When McDougal, all of a sudden, he was championing bringing the Clintons down, was happy. He was moving forward and being successful in bringing the Clintons down. And then all of a sudden, because he was really, because he was in jail, and he was really positive about bringing the Clintons down, he, you know, there was nothing that was going to deter him. He was headstrong in doing that. But all of a sudden, he refused to take his heart medication, so he died? Come on. If you start reading those lists, Arkansas is probably the most apropos term to come out of anybody that is associated with Clinton, anybody that has, you know, any dealings with the Clintons at all, and they all of a sudden die suicide, then I'm just telling you that there is... there's another case of Arkansas where somebody has just left. I only have 20 seconds. What I want to do, folks, is when we come back next week and on Labor Day, we'll try to do a live show again Labor Day. But what I want to do is I want to drill into these vetoes, because I'm going to give you the evidence that the federal government had tried several times to create a Department of Transportation. And with that, they were never granted the authority because the president's vetoed. And every time the president stated that you have to amend the Constitution to assume this power. And yet we have that power. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.